For over 50 years, they redefined rock. The spirit lives on.
Monday warrior, mean stride. Today's Tom Sawyer, mean pride.
Geddy Lee and Alex Lifeson. Rush. Live 50-something tour. Sign up for pre-sale access at Ticketmaster. Legends don't stop. They evolve. Rush.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome my colleague Ahmad Shirari of the Foundation for Defense of Democracies to help me interpret the remarks by the self-named president of Syria, al-Sharaa, appearing before the United Nations General Assembly in New York. The headline from AP: for the first time in nearly six decades, a Syrian president steps up to speak to the UN. Not just a Syrian president, but a man with a storied past. Ahmad, a very good evening to you. Your impressions, and then the impressions of the people in Syria, because I understand it was made available to those in Damascus who had an interest. Al-Sharaa, from my review of a couple of video packages, was a very good imitation of an seasoned statesman. How did he strike you? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. As expected, I thought Sharaa would focus on asking the international community, first of all, emphasizing Syria's return to the international fold in his speech, that his victory over Assad meant that Syria got back into the international fold after 60 years of alienation. And basically, his speech concentrated on asking the international community to give the Syrians and the new Syrian government a chance to rebuild their country, to stabilize through international support, through sanctions relief. And so, it wasn't a long speech compared to other world leaders, but he mainly focused on these key ideas. How it was received in Syria, I think a lot of people were gave Sharaa praise for his speech. Again, most Syrians have never seen their leader give a speech at the UN, so this was a change, a positive change in their eyes. But again, I think the main point behind his visit to the UN or this week was to make this speech and also meet with world leaders on the sidelines of the UN to gain this international recognition. We saw him meet Ukrainian President Zelensky, Italian Prime Minister, the French President Macron, the EU Ursula von der Leyen. So he's trying to get that international legitimacy through these meetings and through his speech.
Yes, the issues are important, but I begin with irony. The quote: "I promise to bring anyone whose hands are tainted with the blood of Syrian people to justice." That is, in the Hebrew parlance, chutzpah, given his reputation. Or have I overinterpreted his experiences in Iraq and in Syria as the head of a cutthroat band? Is there another way to put it that's more diplomatic?
We've been seeing these statements about accountability and justice for since March, since the massacre of the Alawites in March 2025. The thing is, Syria lacks the judicial infrastructure to hold people accountable. And that's been the case since the downfall of the Assad regime. Now there's a distinct difference between Sharaa's rhetoric and, for example, Bashar al-Assad's rhetoric. Bashar al-Assad never acknowledged that men under his own, men in his ranks committed atrocities against the Syrian people. But it seems like Sharaa is acknowledging that mistakes were committed. I think the word mistake is kind of undervalues the extent of these crimes. But I think Sharaa has been open to that idea. The question is: do we believe is he genuinely seeking justice and accountability? Only the future will give us that answer. But again, as I stated, there isn't a coherent legal mechanism that exists right now in Syria that would make Sharia's words come into reality, at least in the near future?
Sanctions, yes, and the allegations made by the Jews and the Alawites, yes. But there was a new issue that he mentioned in his speech to me, new, the drug business. He says that he's interrupted the drug business. What does that mean, and what is Captagon?
So Captagon is a drug that was used by the Assad regime in order to fundraise, and it basically became the economic lifeline for the Assad regime under sanctions. The drug trade started at around 2016. Iranian-backed militias, whether in Lebanon or Iraq, took part in this. So Syria became a safe haven for Captagon production that targeted areas in the Gulf, Jordan, Europe. And it's with the fall of the Assad regime, the Sharia government started claiming that with the fall of the regime, they've started intercepting these smuggling attempts as well as these production facilities. Now, I don't think the number 90%, the 90% figure is accurate. I've been reporting on some of these interceptions, and it seems like there's been an increase in some of these smuggling attempts, primarily in the past 2 to 3 months, given the lack of security in southern Syria. So they're taking advantage of the lack of government forces. These smugglers are taking advantage of the lack of government forces and are using the Jordanian border to smuggle these drugs. But it's important to note that, again, the Assad regime was the main beneficiary of these attempts, or these drug production attempts. And with its removal, the production decreased significantly, but we're still seeing smuggling attempts right now.
And the remarks about Gaza were not clear to me. That concerns Israel a great deal, although Israel's said to be in conversation at some point with his government. Well, how did you interpret his remarks about Gaza? Is he going to weigh in on that struggle, or is he going to stand back and just feel sympathy? I'm not quite sure what he meant by his words.
So, I mean, let me just point out that a lot of Arab leaders resort to rhetoric over action, and they use statements in support of Gaza for their domestic audience and for their image in the Arab world. I don't think Sharia will be acting on these statements. I think he understands what it means to fight against Israel, or the risks of fighting against Israel. And as you correctly stated, the Israelis and the Syrians are currently in conversation over a security agreement that might be signed soon. I think that was mainly for domestic audience and for the audience in the Arab world, just to show that he sympathizes with the Palestinians and the Gazans. But I don't think it means more than that.
And the Alawites and the Druze, not satisfied with anything after their experience, al-Sharia did not speak to that matter. Is that correct? I didn't miss that.
He did. He didn't specify the Alawites or the Druze. He talked about how external groups are trying to divide up Syrian society and are trying to incite sectarianism into Syria. I mean, the 14-year civil war was mainly a sectarian war. If you look at it, I mean, I think that's the more accurate representation of how I look at it. And I think sectarianism is not a new thing in Syria. But he did promise, again, when he mentioned that, he did promise accountability. But now it's up to him to prosecute those who, under his own ranks, who committed crimes against these people. But again, the Druze in Sueda are not satisfied. The Kurds are not satisfied. And the Alawites are not satisfied.
Ahmed Sharari of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
When it comes to broccoli salad, Ohio, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. Everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows that tangy zip. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip in all your favorite recipes. Buy now and get your tang on, Ohio.
It's Cybersecurity Awareness Month. LifeLock is here with tips to help protect your identity. Use strong passwords, set up multi-factor authentication, report scams, and update your software. And for comprehensive identity protection, LifeLock is your best choice. LifeLock alerts you to suspicious uses of your personal information and fixes identity theft, guaranteed, or your money back. Start your protection today with a 30-day free trial at LifeLock.com. Use promo code NEWS. Terms apply.